I have a short text to start with, so if I can get everybody to stand up again, please, please do so. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 4. 1 Corinthians 4. A faithful servant. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 4. Moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, but I know nothing by myself, yet I am not thereby justified by he that judgeth me is the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this time we come to your house and worship you. Just give me the voice that I need so that people can listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God does the judging, not we ourselves, okay? God is looking for us to be faithful servants. I have been asking God what he would have me to bring to you. Tonight has been no different than the times in the past. It seems like God is showing me what needs corrected in my life, and I'm going to share that with you all. Being faithful is a tall order. For me, it is a struggle. A servant or a steward, we hear the word servant, we think of someone that performs menial tasks for another. I am too important to be a servant. Pride. What makes you think you are much better than the person that holds that position as a servant? We no more deserve to be treated as less of a person or more of a person than who we are. We are all equal to each other. We all deserve the same respect. Pride. We judge, we compare each other to each other, and fail to compare ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 10:12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The servant, we think of the word servant, at least I do, as a place of lesser importance. I would like to change the perception of a servant for at least tonight. Let's look at a servant as one who serves. My mind went to serve and protect. Is that not a law enforcement model? To serve, then I thought of the military or the soldier. We say thank you for serving, for they are. If you are serving, you are a servant. I mean that with no disrespect. They hold a very important role to keep us safe at home and abroad. When a tragedy happens, the police, the firefighters, or the National Guard are serving the public. I guess we can kind of look at it this way. You are either a mercenary or you are a servant. You are either in it for the money, what can I get out of this, or you can serve because you believe in something or you love what you are fighting for. The Bible has much to say about, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for Christ? I was looking into the model of to serve and protect, and I saw the Soldier's Creed. I read it and saw it would well fit in tonight's lesson. I am going to read it as it is written, and I'm going to reread it and see if we can't apply it to the Christian, how the Christian should live and behave when we are here on earth. Okay? Number one, I am an American soldier. Number two, I am a warrior and a member of a team. Number three, I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. Number four, I will always place the mission first. Number five, I will never accept defeat. Number six, I will never quit. Number seven, I will never leave a fallen comrade. Number eight, I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in all my warrior tasks and drills. Number nine, I will always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. Number 10, I am an expert and I am a professional. Number 11, I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. Number 12, I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. Let's apply the Soldier's Creed to our Christian life. Number 1, I am an American soldier. I am a Christian, not in word only. I am born again, saved, on my way to heaven, a forgiven sinner, trying to behave as God would expect me to, as one of his adopted children. John chapter 3, 16 through 18. John chapter 3, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he, the world, through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Number 2, I am a warrior and a member of a team. I am a Christian and a member of Bible Baptist Church, which Christ bought with his blood. We are all a part of Christ's church. He has a plan or a function for each of us, just like a soldier. They have a duty to perform. What happens when that soldier is not performing his duty? He is putting his whole team at risk. God has a place for every one of us. One duty is just of equal importance as another. What happens if I am not where God wants me, doing what he has asked me to do? We are each responsible to Christ to carry out our duty. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and then 20 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let's skip down to verse 20. But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Number 3, I will serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. We see the word serve. I'm going to break this into two pieces. We are to serve the one and truly God. We are to serve the one and only true God, and by loving God and loving one another. One has to serve in order to love. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The second part, live by army values. And live by biblical values. Galatians 5, 18 through 26. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, 18 through 26. But if we are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, dissimulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory and provoking one another, envying one another. Number four, I will place my mission first. I will always place Christ above my personal wants and desires. We are bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, not too far away from where we are. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 23. And what is this exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand and in heavenly places, for above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth in us all. 5 and 6, I'm going to put them together. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. These two are related. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. These two got the ball rolling for a faithful servant. Struggle the most with these. The Bible is full of parables and stories of men and women that stayed the course and those that quit. It is easy to quit. Sometimes we do lose a battle, for we are born in the flesh. We will all make mistakes. Do we quit? Do we give place to the devil and surrender? A faithful servant. When we think of a faithful servant, we think of someone that doesn't quit. Can I change the title of Can I change the thinking a little bit? In order to be a faithful servant for Christ, we must exercise faith. You must rely on Christ, for without faith in Christ, we'll not be able to be faithful to Christ. The devil is bigger, stronger, more dedicated to win than we in our flesh. We cannot compete. Christ must be engaged in our life in order for us to have any chance at all with the devil. We look at the 12 spies that spied out the promised land. 10 quit, 2 did not. The 10 had a major influence on Israel. They ended up wandering for 40 years. The decisions we make will do more to impact the person next to us than ourselves. God has placed every one of us in a strategic position in our life and in the life of others that we are around. And if we take our eyes off Jesus, we will see the task as too great and quit. I do not wish to say any of this to get the wrong idea of, look at me, look what I did. If we do, the devil just won. Pride. Does God get the authority? Does God get the authority of who he is? Does Christ get the glory? Does it cause others to believe on Christ? 2 Timothy 4:7. I'm having problems with my paper and my Bible tonight. I don't know why. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I will never leave a fallen comrade. Number 7. There's a mouthful. The enemy is the devil, not the person sitting at the other end of the pew. Sometimes we get disoriented and confused. We see our brother or sister as the enemy. If we think of Gideon and his 300 men, they confused the whole army of the Midianites. The Midianites killed each other, for they thought the Israelites were in amongst them. There were three companies round about that blew trumpets, broke pitchers, and held the lamps. They blew the trumpets and cried, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon," and look what happened. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called, and ye should inherit a blessing. When someone needs help, it is because they are hurting, and sometimes that hurt causes a self-preservation mode. Ever try to help your own dog that is hurt? The dog will all but bite you if you make that hurt worse by trying to help it. Trying to pull a splinter out between its toes, perhaps? We need to love our brethren when they are hurting. Number 8, I am disciplined physically and mentally, tough trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. Are we mentally and physically able for when the devil attacks us or our brothers and sisters? A soldier knows how to use his weapons. The devil knows the easier it is to us to be conquered. To be a Christian, we need to be as fit physically as we can by you. You think that's silly. If you are not alert, you will not see the devil coming. Are you proficient in Bible doctrine, principles, and knowledge? If the devil says that is okay or twists the truth a little bit, do you know enough of the scripture to fight back and know where to look? Memorization is a little bit difficult for me, but I think I can tell you the meaning of a passage or a verse and get the devil scrambling. It is not only that we need to protect ourselves, we need to watch when the devil attacks our brother or sister and help them ward off the devil's attack. 2 Timothy 2, 15 and 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 22. Flee awful useful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Number 9. I will always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. This is kind of similar to the previous one, but with maintenance in mind. This refers to keeping your rifle clean, equipment in good working order, and not getting drunk. Maybe not, but a good possibility. Do you stay prayed up? Do you place yourself in places that find you vulnerable to the devil's attacks? Your Bible probably is not handy in those locations, for it would be uncomfortable if you were to bring it. Should that raise a question, should I even be there? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for the saints. Number 10, I am an expert and I am a professional. Can we say that? We cannot be an expert at being a Christian, but with only the help of Christ. We cannot do it on our own. However, we can with Christ. Do others around us see us conducting ourselves so that they can see Christ in us wherever we may be? Not just at church or at work, or at the store or at a child's ball game. It is a lifetime, 24 hours a day. There are no vacation days, no time off. We have to conduct ourselves as Christ-like as we can all the time. Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Number 11, I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. The devil is our enemy. Most of our attacks are personal. Are we ready to defend? Or do we just lay down and surrender before we even know he is attacking us? Sometimes we just like our flesh a little too much, me, myself, and I. What is in it for me? 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Number 12, I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. The American way of life was founded upon biblical principles. The only way to protect our way of life is to pass it down to the next generation. If we do not know or forget or don't even care about what the Bible says to be right, it will not be passed down. First, we must know, and then we can pass down what we know. We have too many of our ways of life, we have let too many ways of our life be taken from us. One is life itself. Abortion. Abortion is murder. It is wrong, and we allowed it to happen. What about boys being boys and girls being girls? God called it. We're going to give that up to marriage. A man and a woman, not a man and a man. or a woman and a woman. They are pulling Bible verses off the wall. When are we going to be a guardian of the Christian way of life? Do we stand up for what is right? The Bible is what lets us know what is right and wrong. It is not what man thinks. Do we let man know God says what is right and what is wrong? Thus saith the Lord. Philippians 4, 5 through 9. Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there any be praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Got that? We're supposed to do. And the God of peace shall be with you all. When I first started this lesson, I was headed in the same direction, but I took a little different route. Are we faithful servants to Christ? Do we place all our trust in Christ? Do we totally rely on Christ? Can Christ rely on us to do what he has asked of us? Remember, he does not expect us to do it by ourselves. He has asked us to do. He will be there the whole time and guide us and help us if we do not push him out of the way.